free exercise of religion. And in Delaware yesterday, they had a protest at the State House for freedom of religion there and no restrictions on religion and on the churches. And this is a sign that I had up there. And, you know, that's right in the Constitution of the United States, the free exercise of religion. That's our most basic liberty and foundational liberty that has been eroded away. And so today we come to Memorial Day. And of course I was in the military myself, in the Air Force, and but you know the thing is when we every time when we come to Memorial Day, we remember those that have given their lives to do what? To give us freedom. And what they did is they gave us freedom, not like what people have in other countries, totalitarianism, at least ideally. And the thing is now those liberties have been really eroded away through this emergency today. And, you know, the thing is, they can always come up with emergencies. This is the latest emergency. It was called the emergency du jour. And the emergency, and we can see what they can do with emergencies. They can get rid of all the liberties, all the freedoms that we thought we had. I mean, whoever would have thought a few months ago that they would close down all the churches? That has never been done before in America. And so it's they've been chipping away at freedoms for many, many years. A little bit here, a little bit there. But this, the last couple of months, has been a big chunk out of our foundation of our freedom, of the heart of our freedom. And it's not just some sort of regulations about this and that, but to not even let us go to assemble together in the churches, that's really getting bad. And of course, you can come up with a lot of emergencies. All through history, dictators and totalitarian governments have come up with all kinds of emergencies. Hitler in Germany, back World War II time, he had the big Jewish emergency. They had an emergency. All these Jews were taking over the country, and they needed to do something about it. And they had the emergency there with Hitler of living space. They didn't have enough living space. They needed to conquer other countries. And, you know, and we can have other emergencies come tomorrow. One in particular that they've tried to trump up is the climate emergency. The sky is falling. And so they've been trying to put in all kinds of new government as a result of that. And so it's scary. That's why it's a good time to study the book of Revelation. And as I said before, these things that are happening kind of lay the foundation for a time of great totalitarianism with the Antichrist. A time when you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And you can see today how that could come about. They're talking about marking people whether they've been vaccinated or not now. And you can't do anything without your vaccination. And different things like that. And then we'll see in our study in Revelation today, it's about power. Power. There's a lot of things that people live for in life. They live for money. They live for pleasure. They live for fame. They live for power. And power, people get drunk on power. Our governors are drunk on power today. And they're relenting a little bit only because they have to, only because they can see that the people are not going to put up with it anymore and they're going to disobey them and then that'll be a big mess. And so they're relenting some. But we were taking a walk this week and we went by the door of a restaurant there in downtown Smyrna. And had a page up on the door of all the different regulations that the restaurants are going to have to abide by in order to open up. And they got that with the churches too. And so they say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so the governors, all of them are doing it, most of them are doing it, and they think that they can get away with it. And they just like having that power, and they don't want to get rid of it. Remember Herod in the Bible. He was an old man, but he was really feeling threatened by that baby being born in Bethlehem. And he was just didn't want any threat at all to his power. He was willing to kill all the babies. And people love their power. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, that's where we're up to in our study of the book of Revelation. And this is an interesting passage here on two of the woes. Uai, uai, uai. In Greek, three woes. And here's two of them in chapter 9. The fifth and sixth trumpets that come out of the seventh seal. So we have in chapter 9 and verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Well, who do we think of as falling from heaven to the earth? Well, we think of Satan. And I think that's what we're talking about right here, Satan, a star. And remember back in chapter 1, the stars of the seven churches are the angels of the seven churches. So we have the star falls to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. What exactly the bottomless pit is, we're not entirely sure, but you know what's interesting as we go through this, that it matches up with what we know of geology and of the earth, that there's heat down in the earth. There's a lot of heat down there. That's why we got volcanoes. That's why they're in Yellowstone. It's all bubbling up, all that heat from inside the earth. And then when the volcanoes are up, all that smoke comes out. And the sulfur, brimstone. And that's all in line with this. So we have the bottomless pit. Satan is given the key to the bottomless pit. He's given something that he's allowed to do. Satan can only do those things that he's allowed to do. And he's given the key of the bottomless pit. And then verse 2, a smoke comes up out of the pit. A big smoke, just like out of a volcano. And the sun was even darkened by reason of the smoke, and that's how it is when a volcano erupts. And then verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Locusts. Here they're described as locusts. And there have been a lot of fanciful interpretations of these verses. Of course, some people like to just completely spiritualize the whole thing and not have it be literal at all. But remember, we read in the scripture passage at the beginning of the verse of the call to worship that when Moses was there in Egypt, he called for locusts upon the land of Egypt, and they came and destroyed the land of Egypt. Those were literal locusts. The bugs, like grasshoppers, is what we generally know them as grasshoppers. These locusts can be really bad, even in today's world. And they can just darken the sky. They can completely devastate the land. You know, there's a movie, The Good Earth. And that was an old-time book about China. But anyway, they have a scene in that movie where they have the locusts come and they're trying to fight the locusts. It's a really good picture of the locusts, how bad they are. Well, that's what these are described as locusts. In what way are they like locusts? Well, I'd say the fact that they're living creatures, relatively small, they can fly, and they're like locusts. Now, some people have described these as helicopters. And we have helicopters coming all over the earth, but that's not what we have here. These are living creatures, and they're locusts, and they have power as the scorpions of the earth have power. There's our word power for the day. Power. The locusts have power over men. Scorpions have power. But the trouble is, these are different types of locusts. We have that in verse 4. It was commanded them that they're not supposed to eat any grass like normal locusts. They're supposed to sting men, and they're supposed to torment the men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And as I said before, we seem to be here at the last half of the tribulation period. And by this time, it seems that the believers on the earth are limited to the 144,000 that have been sealed in the last half of the tribulation period. Those are the Jews out of all the tribes of Israel. And they're the ones that get sealed here, and they're the ones that don't get tormented by the scorpions. Once again, we're looking at Revelation from the premillennial point of view, taking things as literally as possible, as I believe we should, as we see prophecy taken all through the Bible. But, you know, we can't stay away from the book of Revelation just because there's a lot of different views on it. We have to teach whatever view we believe. So anyway, they have this power over men, verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should torment the people on the earth with a torment like the torment of a scorpion. You know, over in Cameroon, where I was a missionary, we had scorpions over there, although not too many where we were. Scorpions are generally desert dwellers, normally from desert areas, but there were some in the jungle there. I remember coming out of my house one day there in Cameroon, and right on the side of the house there was about a 6 or 7 inch long black scorpion on the side of the house. And we didn't see too many of them there because it was jungle, but a few. And then I was talking to guys in my classes there at the seminary, and the one seminary student said he was sitting in the class in that very classroom one day, a little while before, and a scorpion dropped down from the ceiling on top of him and stung him. Now, you think there was a message there? I don't know. But anyway, it stung him right in the classroom there. And I remember one of the guys from Africa I went to college with, he told about putting on his pants, and there were a couple of scorpions in there, and he had a real time with that. Now, scorpions usually don't kill people, not unless they have allergic reactions. But they torment people. It's very painful. And that's what we have here with these locusts, like the sting of a scorpion. And then in verse 6, they'll seek death. It's so painful for 5 months. And they'll desire to die, but death shall flee from them. And then verse 7, it gives us a fearsome, 7 and 8 gives us a fearsome description of these locusts of the future out of the pit of hell. They have the shape of horses, heads with crowns of gold. John's describing it as he can, the best he knows how. And they have faces as the faces of men, hair as the hair of women, teeth as the teeth of lions, although they don't seem to use the teeth too much. They had breastplates, armoring on them, and it sounded like the sound of chariots running to battle when they came. It was pretty fearsome, and will be very fearsome when this comes in the future. And they go around stinging people for 5 months. They have power from God for 5 months. I remember in Brazil we had something that might remind me a little bit of this, because I'm sure at this time people will be in their houses and those locusts will be buzzing around the windows trying to get in, and they'll find their way in. When we were there in Brazil, we had some hornets that decided to make a nest in our porch, and there was a big swarm of them there. Well, I sprayed them to kill them, and I managed to, eventually got rid of them. But you know, you hear about being mad as a hornet. Well, they were really mad as a hornet, and they weren't too dumb either. We went in the house, and they were buzzing around the windows trying to get in at us. And they weren't only buzzing around the windows on the side toward their nest, they were on the back windows trying to get into the house and trying to get at us. And it says in the Bible, God uses hornets sometimes, but they're a little bit, just a slight bit, like these locusts that will be in the future. And tormenting men for 5 months. And that's the fifth trumpet. And then verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue, Apollyon. They had a king over him. And I think this is the same person, the same angel that has the key to the bottomless pit. He's the king over them. Now, number one, I believe this is Satan, but I don't believe Satan is sitting in hell all the time, ruling over hell. The Bible tells us he's as a lion going up and down in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But he is the king over these terrible creatures here. He is Apollyon, Abaddon, the destroyer. That means destroyer. And Satan is described as a destroyer. And I was thinking about that for a second. You know, he can only sting and have his locusts sting the people that are his. He can't have the people stung that are the Christians. And you would think, well, you know, why would Satan want to do anything like that? Why would he want to just sting his own people? Well, you know, Satan, he is a destroyer. And he destroys his own people. And he is unmitigated evil. And he wants to do evil. And so here he has that power to torment men 5 months. And you know, here's another thing with power. All through history, how can a person show very graphically and clearly that he has power over other people? Well, by making the other people suffer and torturing them. Of course, our governors are doing that right now, trying to make people suffer. And I think that's part of what they're doing, closing up all the parks, closing up all the things where people can divert themselves. There in the town of Smyrna, we have the city park padlocked there. And it's a ridiculous thing. And, of course, that's how they show power over other people. And that's how the Roman Catholic Church used to torture people, to show their power, and all through history. And here Satan, he shows his power by torturing people, by torturing all the people on the earth with these locusts. And then let's go on. Let's go on to the sixth trumpet, the second woe right here. Verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now you remember our first four trumpets had to do with the earth, had to do with the rivers, the sea, all those things. And now here we have these last trumpets here, they have to do with people, with tormenting them, and then here killing them. And so we have this trumpet sounds, the sixth trumpet, out of the four horns of the altar. And just like in the tabernacle, in the temple, you have the four-horned altar in front of the temple, in front of the Holy of Holies and the holy place. That's what you have here in heaven. And people used to go in the temple in the Old Testament and grab hold of the horns of the altar for mercy. And that's what you have right here. The voice comes out from there. And so I think the pattern we have in heaven is reflected in the tabernacle and the temple. And so here we have these four angels that are loosed, that were prepared for a certain time, for an hour, a day, a month, year, a certain date to do what they were going to do. Who are these angels? Well, I would tend to think that they're four demons. four demons under the control of Satan, because they were bound there, just as Satan is going to be bound in the millennium. They were bound. Bound means actually tied up, not able to do anything until they were released. And that's how Satan is going to be with during the millennium. Tied up completely, not able to do anything. Not just tied up a little bit, but tied up a lot. Bound. And so here we have those four angels were bound to slay one-third of the population of the earth. And I think as we go through these things, it's always a fraction of what's left. And so remember with the seals, with the death and the fourth seal, we had one-fourth of the earth was killed. One-fourth of the population was killed. Well, here we have, of course, the first four seals weren't all natural things, but mostly natural, and they had I'm talking about the first four trumpets were mostly natural. In the seals, we have one-fourth of the population of the earth was killed. And here we have another third was killed. So that makes one-half, if you add them both together, one-half of the population of the earth is killed off through these plagues that fall. So then we go on with this plague that kills off one-third of the population that's left. You know, they trumped up this coronavirus, and they were saying, oh, our models tell us that 2 million are going to die. And it was nothing close to that. That was just a thing to scare everybody, to make them be able to take away all our freedoms and whatever and have their power. But you know, here it's not going to be like that. There's going to be one half of the population of the earth dies. This is going to be a real emergency. And then verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of the men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So this would seem to be a big bunch of warfare here. Armies fighting together. And we have the number of the troops involved. Of course, if you're going to have fighting, you have to have two sides to fight. But the fighting here, the number of the troops involved is 200,000,000, 200 million. You know, in days gone by, that was a super high number that you would never attain to. But you could attain to that today, 200 million involved. And I believe what we have here is battles with the Antichrist consolidating his power. Power once again. The Antichrist getting power over everybody. And you know all those people that rule and presidents and countries all over, they're not going to give up their power very easily to the Antichrist. And so they're going to fight. And that's how it's always been through history. History is a series of warfare all through history. People wanting to conquer other countries, and the other countries not wanting to be conquered. And there's warfare between the two. And that's what we have here. This horsemen, they're described as. Why would they be described as horsemen? Well, they're mobile. You know, in the 20th century, they had mechanized infantry. We have mobility in the warfare, and that's with the horsemen. They're mobile. And so John here, he's trying to describe it in any way he can, and he's having a very difficult time describing these things. And so he comes up with all these things here. Now, these things might be something similar to tanks, I should think. You know, of course, this is in the future. This is the second half of the tribulation, and they're likely to have some different types of tanks, different types of machinery and warfare that he's describing here. But you notice these instruments of warfare, they have fire and smoke and brimstone. What is gunpowder made out of? It's made out of brimstone. Sulfur is one of the main ingredients of gunpowder. Brimstone is sulfur. And so, and of course with a tank, you know, it says the power comes out of their mouth. Well, you got the barrel of the gun on the tank. And then it talks about they have power in their tails. Well, a tank can swing around and have them fire out the back too, like a tail, I don't know. But this is probably something that we don't see exactly today, but some sort of tank or something in the future. But we have this huge army, these huge armies of 200 million fighting with each other, and through all the fighting that they do, one-third of the people on the earth are killed through all this warfare that goes on with the Antichrist consolidating his power over the earth. And then you see when you come to Armageddon, later on in chapter 19, the Antichrist has already consolidated his power, and he gathers everybody in the earth together, and they're all gathered together to fight against Christ, against the people that God is protecting in the wilderness, the Jews, the 144,000. They're all united together to fight against them. But they get all united together here through this sixth trumpet, through all these wars that go on. And so you can see we have quite mobile troops today. We can come up with 200 million troops. Actually, just from China, you can almost come up with 200 million troops today. And you know, China today is doing a Belt and Road Initiative. And one of the things with that Belt and Road Initiative is building highways across Asia leading to where? Well, perhaps to the Holy Land and leading up to Armageddon. And so, as I said, history has been a series of warfare from the very beginning. Our history in the United States has been a series of wars. And we always have to have these wars in order to maintain what? To maintain the free exercise of religion and all the other freedoms that we have. Because people are always wanting to take those freedoms away. You know, when I was making up this sign, it made me remember my times with Dr. McIntyre. And Dr. McIntyre was a great one on going and having protests with signs. And we used to go out all over the place protesting this and protesting that. But anyway, he used to say, freedom is everybody's business, my business, your business, the church's business. A man who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom does not deserve his freedom. And there's a lot of truth to that. And that's true. And so history has been a series of wars. And for the good guys, that's been a history of defending freedom. And praise the Lord, we enjoyed that freedom for many, many years in this country. We still enjoy a lot of freedom here. But we've had a very scary taking away of our basic freedoms here lately. And so we have the fifth trumpet, the locusts, torment men. The sixth trumpet, we have the armies fighting and one-third of the population of the earth killed. And God's judgments are just pouring down upon the earth. The mystery of iniquity is being finished. God is taking the throne to himself. He's putting everything under his feet. And it's great calamity. And wickedness is finally being judged completely. Well, what's the reaction of the people there in verse 20? And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And how did the people react? Everybody being tormented, everybody being killed. Did they turn to God? No, they didn't turn to God. They repented not. And of course, we talk about power here. They didn't have power to repent. No power to repent. No power to come unto the Lord. And they kept on with their idolatry. Verse 20. You know, we think sometimes that idolatry, worshiping statues, is all passe today, but there's still some of that going on. When I was in the Far East, when I was in the Air Force, tourist attractions were visiting the Buddhist temples. And they got all their big Buddhas and people worshiping their Buddhas there. And what about with the Roman Catholic Church? They love to worship their statues in the Roman Catholic Church. We were in Italy a couple years ago, and there they had the skull and bones of Saint Dominic there, where the Dominicans come from. And they had kneeling pads there for people to kneel there before the bones and skull of Dominic. And people still are bowing before these idols. And people don't repent of that, even with all these things that happened at the time of the end. And of course, those aren't the only idols. We have our idols. If we don't have wood and stone and gold and silver, we have our idols of our car, of our house, of our family, of our lots of different things can be idols. And an idol is anything that we put before God. Anything that we put first in our life is an idol, if it's not God. And so here are these people. They had a lot of things before God, everything before God, and they don't repent of it here in the future. And of course, remember the first commandment of all the commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Put him first. And we need to put him first in our lives. He has to have the priority in our life, the most important thing in our life. And that's the sad thing about what they've done with our freedoms. They took away the most important thing, worshiping God, and are part of that from us. And then verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, fornication, and thefts. All these specific sins of the Ten Commandments. They still were committing their sins. They didn't turn from them, even when all these judgments fall upon the earth that John saw and will be in the future. And we have the sixth commandment, murders, the seventh commandment, fornication, eighth commandment, thefts, and they're continuing to break those commandments. And it talks here about repenting. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What does it mean to repent? Repent really means basically to change direction. Change direction. Whereas we're going toward sin, we change direction and we go toward God. Change direction. That's repenting. And the people don't repent when all these things happen in the future. And people still don't repent today. You know, it's been mentioned that, you know, that people can be turned to the Lord through this Chinese flu and all this stuff going on. Unfortunately, I've seen practically none of that. And it's not, there is just like it here, neither repented they of all the things that they've been doing, but they're looking to the government. Of course, the government knows what's best for us, and they're going to tell us what's best for us, and what's best for us is not to go to church. And anyway, so they didn't repent of their murders. And you know, you can commit murder just in the mind. Commit fornication just in the mind. And we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord. And then it talks here about sorceries. Sorceries. They didn't repent of their sorceries. What is sorcery? Is there sorcery today? Well, sorcery is using the power of Satan and his demons to do miracles. And people have always been looking for miracles, looking at power again, looking for power to do miracles. People have always been looking for that. So witches, they look for power. And they do get some power here and there. And from Satan and from his demons. And that's a sin in the Bible doing that. And today, I believe that's some of what goes on with Pentecostals and charismatics. That they're tapping into the power of Satan and his demons with what they're doing. They're emptying themselves completely and letting Satan take over and his demons. And they don't know it in a lot of cases. And so, but anyway, these people here in the future, they don't repent of their sorceries and of their fornication, murder, and thefts. And so, as we're Christians, we need to repent when we become a Christian. We need to continue to repent through our lives. Let's look at one other scripture in closing here, John chapter 1, very familiar verse, talking about power, talking about repenting. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when we become a Christian, we become a Christian because God has given us power to come unto him. He has given us a new heart. And these people in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 9, they don't have power to repent because God hasn't given it to them. Yeah, but God, praise the Lord, if we're Christians here today, God has given us that power. That power, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And of course, we're Presbyterians. Presbyterian is synonymous with Calvinist, believing in the doctrines of grace, believing in election. And these verses are very strong on that. And they make it perfectly clear in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we see that in Revelation chapter 9. Those poor people, they have seen all those things. They've had their next door neighbors, everybody killed off. They've been tormented for 5 months, and they still can't repent. They don't have the power. And praise the Lord that he's given us the power to repent. He's given us the power to repent of our sin, to come unto him. And let us repent of our sin from day to day that we have before him. And of course, originally call on his name to be saved and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou bless these thoughts to our hearts. And O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast given us power to become the sons of God. In Jesus' name, amen.